How does this work, Jim? I forget.
Just hit record twice.
I got to turn it on first. Okay. Ready? All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Mark chapter 16. A couple of years ago or a while back, somebody said to me, God's people really need to see miracles and signs and healings and deliverance. And like, they don't see them. They didn't see them. Something was missing. And I said, yeah. Because when have God's people not needed that from the fall of Adam? I mean, it's always true, that, and it will always be true, that God's people need to see God's deliverance in whatever form or shape it may take. And I would say that if you don't see him, either you're not looking or you need to reevaluate your life. Right in the very beginning, most of you go back a ways. In the very beginning, we learn the keys to receive anything from God, what's available, how to receive it, what to do with it. God's willingness is equal to his ability and wants and needs parallel. You know, and the how of receiving is believing. So if we're believing, if we're looking to God and we're standing faithful in God's word, we should be seeing stuff on a regular basis. Sometimes it's big things, sometimes it's little things. Sometimes it's dramatic, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just a matter of faithfulness, of sticking to it and letting God work. So, Mark 16, verse 17, Jesus Christ speaking to his apostles before he ascended into heaven. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, is this a full listing of everything that God's going to do for people? No, it's just a sampling. It's just a sampling. It's just an indication. You may have seen some of this stuff. You may not have. But certainly, I speak in tongues. You know? And I certainly have seen people healed. I've never picked up a snake. But, you know, if I did, you know, I wouldn't do it on purpose. Unless somebody was showing me how to do it the right way. Cast out devils, I've seen devils cast out. These things are an indication that God will do great things if we need it. You know, you may have eaten some deadly thing or drank some deadly thing and not even known it. You know, God healed you. I'm sure when we get to heaven and God reveals and we know, we're going to see a lot of things that God did for us that we weren't even aware of. I always think when I'm going somewhere, sometimes I see a terrible accident. And I think, wow, if I'd have been here 10 minutes earlier, I might have been dead. But for whatever reason, I wasn't there 10 minutes earlier. Or maybe 10 minutes after I pass by, something happens. You know, I just believe that God's always watching over me and taking care of me and doing those things. You know, the word signs is another thing, because the word signs is simply the word signs. It means to mark out or a sign of something. It doesn't necessarily mean a miracle or a wonder. It just means a sign, something that marks out something. I say, come on in. That's a sign to come in. That's what that word means. It's just a sign, an indication, a mark. But it says, Jesus Christ said that signs follow them that believe. You know, sometimes people say, well, if I saw a miracle, then I'd believe. Well, they'll never see it, right? We believe, then we see. And that's the way it is. So the real issue about signs, wonders, and miracles, the real issue is about seeing God work in your life, is believing. That's the real issue. The real issue is believing. You know, somebody prayed today and heard something about prosperity and all that stuff. And, you know, I remember in Hebrews 11 where it talks about some believers, some great believers, were in the wilderness and didn't have a lot of food and didn't have a lot of clothing. And, you know, we have a skewed outlook on things in our society, in our time, and in our life. We have abundance by accident almost, you know, and if we don't have a brand new car and two televisions and take a fancy vacation, we think we're on the edge of destruction, and it's just not true. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, God's always there for us. God's always doing his best for us. And we have believed. You know, you think about the greatness of the new birth, the miracle of the new birth, and the ability to speak in tongues and to manifest Holy Spirit. It's a miracle that never runs out, does it? It's always there. And it, God gave it to us because it's an assurance to us. It's proof to us that we can know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness." You know, to people that don't want to believe, the preaching of the cross of what Jesus Christ did is foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. Just think about what God did. Jesus Christ died. He laid in the ground for 3 days. God raised him from the dead. Pretty cool. And then he ascended into heaven. Now, other people got raised from the dead. Lazarus actually was in the ground 4 days, wasn't he? But he didn't ascend into heaven. He didn't stay alive. He died again at some point. Then it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." I was thinking about this the other day. Did I mention last week? I talked last week about Stella's cousin getting healed, the one that was in the accident. But, you know, it's kind of cool. The doctor said to the girl's father, "She will never wake up from the coma, and she will never breathe on her own again." That's the wisdom of the world, right? That's sense knowledge. And, you know, the guy's trained, he's educated, he knows his stuff. I'm sure he's very good at what he does. But it has nothing to do with God. God is way beyond the wisdom of the world. So, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He has. He does. He will. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're going, "Well, you know, I got my retirement plan and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah." I said, "So what? What about God? Where's God in all this? Where's God in your life?" You know, sometimes I hear people, and they're believers, and they're so been out of shape about 401ks and if they're going to make it to here. You know, the Affordable Health Act. Well, who gives a shit? What about God? What about God? Where's God in all this? Sometimes I'm shocked. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." That's kind of a cool little phrase, isn't it? "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that do what?"
Believe.
Believe. The world says we're foolish. You ever listen to some of those guys on TV? You know, it's okay to believe, but shh, don't tell anybody. That's to be private. It's not to be private. We're to shout it from the rooftops. We're to preach. Read the Psalms sometimes, what David said about exalting God. You know, God delivered him and he wanted everybody to know it. We should want everybody to know what God does for us. We should want everybody. And if people think that we're foolish because we believe in God, well, then they're dumber than dirt. For the Jews require a sign. There they go, the signs. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. You know, you go back in the Gospels, when I was looking at the word sign, went back in the Gospels, and how many times did Jesus Christ reprove the Pharisees for asking for a sign? You know why? Because he was the fulfillment of the prophecies and the signs. They were all there. They were supposed to be experts in the scriptures. And they said to him, if you would show us a sign, we're going to see that. Okay. What a cool thing. So the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. What a great thing. And of course, Christ is the Word of God, right? He's the Word of God incarnate. And he shows forth the wisdom of God and what he did to redeem us and to make available to us what we have. What a great thing. Throughout God's Word, the key to receiving anything from God is to believe what God says. That's it. Well, I mean, you got to believe what he says, not what you say, not what somebody else says. I can't tell you how many times, not only I, but many people, you know, somebody will say, well, I'm going to believe for this. And you say, well, you can't believe for that. Well, I don't know that. It's pretty amazing to try to tell somebody they can't believe for something. You know, I mean, there are things maybe, but you can't believe for somebody to love you. That I know. Because they have free will, right?
Right.
Can't believe for somebody to love you. And there are some other things. You know, can't believe for somebody to die. Not a nice thing to do anyway, but could pray for God to strike them down, maybe. If they were evil, I don't know. Anyway, but unto them that are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We want to see things, we want to receive, we have to believe. Whenever and wherever man believes God, acts upon God's word literally, he sees the power of God. That's pretty much it. You know, whenever we receive the word of God, act upon it literally, we'll see the power of God. Signs follow believing. They don't precede believing. They follow believing. Now, you know what? Sometimes God can lead us along the way for stuff. He can open doors for us. He can give us this type of, you know, signs of, you know, we pray for something and he gives us an indication somehow or another. Believing is not a struggle or a strain. We're not the, you know, you don't believe better because you strain more to believe. It's the assurance and the reliance and the confidence in God that he's going to bring it to pass. It's pretty simple. You know, sat down in that chair and you had all confidence that it would not collapse. Pretty great. Let's go to 1 John. Epistle of 1 John, chapter 5. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence that we have in him. That word confidence is also could be translated boldness. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know, if we ask anything according to God's will, we know God's will, don't we? Or we have access to God's will. So if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He hears us. He tells us time and time again that he hears our prayers. His ears are always open to the prayers of the righteous. Then it says in verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Pretty great. Let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I was looking at some of the Psalms the other day, too. Here's some Psalms we just should spend the whole time just looking at one Psalm. Some of them are just amazing. Psalm 34, verse 3, we're going to start. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." That's what we're supposed to do. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I think sometimes people have situations, problems, anxieties, fears, and they don't seek the Lord. Yeah. They don't really seek him. You got to get in there and spend some time praying and getting peaceful and allow God to work in your heart. He will if you let him. But if you just get bent out of shape and you do a quick prayer and then go back to worrying, that's not really going to work. You know, you look in the Word of God and you see people, they would just get off by themselves a lot of times and just get quiet with God and pray. Today in our society, sometimes that's hard. Or, too many things going on, too much diversion, too much distraction. You just need to get quiet with God sometimes. I sought the Lord and he heard me. The word heard is answered. Of course he hears us. Why wouldn't he hear us? He's not deaf. God has perfect hearing. And he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, this David wrote this after he was delivered from a dangerous situation. And, he didn't just write these things. He wrote them by revelation, but they related to his life and what was going on. And, you know, when he says he was delivered from his enemies, he had real enemies that looked to kill him. They were hunting him down sometimes. Friends betrayed him. All kinds of stuff. So this poor man cried. He's talking about himself. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Fear who? God. Respect God. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. That's a pretty... Yeah, great promise, great assurance. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I love that one. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is... You ever get some food and you're not sure if you're going to like it or not, so you give it a taste? I remember when I was a kid, I wouldn't eat lobster. Stupid me. And then one time my mom, actually we went to one of my mom's friends, they invited us for dinner, and they had lobster and they got me to taste it, and I, wow, this is really good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Trust. Trust in the Lord. You know, what does it mean to trust? You just have no doubts, right? You put your money in the bank. Do you trust the bank? Well, you write checks. You expect that they're going to pay the check, right? You don't even give it a second thought. As long as you know you have the money there, right? You reconcile your checking account every month or whatever, and you know how much money you have, and you write the check, and you're just absolutely 100% positive that it'll pass. It'll get paid. That's trust. How about God? Do we trust God? God's bank ain't broke yet. Remember that? Okay, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. There's no want to those that respect God, that fear God, that keep God in a proper place in their life. God is supposed to have priority. He's supposed to be number one. There is no want, no any little teensy bit of want would be no good. Want in the sense of this is what you really need, right? It's not lust, it's not greed, it's not, but you know, what you need and what you want, when your wants and needs are parallel. When you want what you need and you need what you want, and God supplies it. You have food, you have clothes, you have shelter. You have the things that you need. Socks. I have to say, I have too many socks. I don't have any room in my drawer for socks. It's full to overflowing. So anybody buys me a gift ever, don't buy me socks. I have socks I never wear. I have socks from 25 years ago.
I think you need to clean your sock drawer out.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. You know, lions are what? King of the jungle. Except they don't live in the jungle. They really live on the plains. But they're the king of the animal kingdom. You know, they rule. And they're powerful and strong and fast and great hunters, and you know, and yet sometimes they suffer hunger. Sometimes they get hurt and can't hunt. They die. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Wow, another great promise. They that seek the Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the context is food, clothing, shelter. You know, if you really have those things, you really, you know, today we need transportation. Okay, we'll give you that. But if you have those things, you really don't have any room to complain. Okay, let's go somewhere else. So, believing. Signs follow believing. And the way we receive from God is believing. And how do we believe? Well, Romans chapter 10 tells us how we get to believing. Chapter 10, verse 11. You know, I bet some of you think, well, this is really a simple teaching. I've heard this a zillion times. believing is the most important thing we do. It is the most important thing we do. And you know what? It takes diligence, and it takes, you got to guard your believing. You have to say, okay, am I believing God? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I doing what the Word of God says to do? It takes diligence to keep that word where it belongs, so that we do what God tells us to do. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's a great verse too. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. I was reading in Walter's book the other day, he was going through some stuff, and I guess it's Colossians where it talks Scythians, bond, free. Another place it talks about men and women. And you know, we think in terms of the mystery as Jews and Gentiles are one body. But actually, bond and free was another one in Bible times where they were part of the body too, whether you were a bond, you know, a slave or a free. You were born again, you were a full member of the body of Christ. Or women, you know, women, when they were born again, were full members of the body of Christ, just like men were. Scythians, whoever they were. Cretans. They were all looked down upon by other peoples. They were all part of the body of Christ. See, there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. God is no respecter of persons. If you call upon him, if you call and ask according to his will, what? He hears you. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the Word. It doesn't matter how much of the Word you know. It doesn't matter anything. It just matters that you ask him and believe. Pretty easy. There's no difference. He doesn't do for any more for anybody else than he does for anybody else. We all get the same opportunity to believe. We all get the same opportunity to go to God. And he's no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of believing. That's all he is. He's, you know, if you believe, he delivers. If you don't believe, his hands are tied because he set up the laws, right? He can't go beyond his law. Where was I? Okay. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word saved is made whole, right? Which can also be translated delivered. It pertains to the new birth. It pertains to if we're sick. It pertains to any need we would have. It's, you know, if you call upon the Lord, you'll be saved. How then shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith or believing cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You just have to put the word of God into your brain. You have to keep it there. You have to be receptive to God. You have to be ready and willing to do what he tells you, when he tells you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. You know, what God tells you is between you and him. You don't have to tell me that God told you. You just need to know that it's him that told you and act upon it. It'll be obvious and clear if God told you to do something and it's really God and you really believe. And if you need something, you don't need to tell anybody but God. And then when you get it, you'll know it's really from God. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. That is a pretty straightforward answer there, isn't it? Well, let's go to chapter 16. They didn't like that, the Pharisees. They didn't like that answer. They wanted to get a sign from Jesus Christ that he was the one. They tempted him. If you'd show us a sign, we'd believe. Mm-hmm. Remember Jesus Christ with the guy in Mark, and he brought his son, and his apostles, his disciples couldn't heal him. Right. And so then he said, Lord, help me if you can. If you could heal my son, help me. And he said, if you can believe. And he said, help mine unbelief. He didn't say, show me a sign. He said, help mine unbelief. You know? God can strengthen your believing. He can help you. He can reassure you. But we're not to tempt him. Verse 16. Verse 1, chapter 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. There they go again. He answered and said unto them, What is evening? Ye say, when it is evening, ye say, It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Red sky at night, sailor's delight, right? And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red in the lowering. Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. There you go. Comes right from the Bible. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? You know, Jesus Christ was born of the woman, right? John the Baptist declared who he was, baptized people. Jesus Christ did signs and miracles, and they still didn't believe. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Okay, let's go to chapter 27. Chapter 27, verse 39. This is when Jesus Christ is on the cross. It's right after they set up his accusation. The two thieves are crucified with him, one on the right, one on the left. Verse 39, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. They walked by Jesus Christ, shaking their head, and they said, he should have listened. Shouldn't have made waves. And saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Remember he said the temple would be destroyed and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And they shook their head saying it was 40 years to build this temple. How's he going to rebuild it in 3 days? And then the explanation was in the parentheses is he speaks of his own body being resurrected. But they said, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will what?
Believe,
believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. That's what he said. I am the Son of God. Didn't say I'm God. He said, I am the Son of God. And the really interesting thing is here, they said, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. But remember when he prayed, he asked God. He says, is there another way to do it? And God said, no. So when he trusted God, he remained on the cross. When he trusted God, he got buried. He got put in the sepulcher. And he stayed there for 3 days until God resurrected him. Because God told him, right? He said, I'll rebuild this temple in 3 days. He said, the sign of Jonah will be your sign. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. So he had to trust God to die and be in the ground 3 days and three nights. He was really believing God. He was really trusting God. He was really looking and trusting God for the real deliverance. Because what did he say?
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done. And he said, I have 12 legions of angels if I want to get off here, ready to deliver me. But he decided to do what God wanted him to do. He really trusted God. You know, sense knowledge-wise, he died. And, you know, there are philosophers and theologians that write and say, he died. He failed. He didn't fail, he succeeded. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Those guys wouldn't have believed no matter what he did. If he'd have got off the cross and flew and did loop-de-loops, they wouldn't have believed. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. This is after James and Peter, or John and Peter. John and Peter. John and Peter healed the guy, lame from his mother's womb, from birth. They heal the guy that's lame, and he jumps and shouts, and they teach the word of God in the temple. And as they spake, chapter 4, verse 1, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon him. Who were the guys that tempted him? The priests, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. Who were the ones that condemned him on the cross? The priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And who's complaining here? The priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees. And being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. So people believed, but not the guys that tempted them. Not the ones that said, well, if he got off the cross. He told them that if he got up from the dead, and they got up from the dead, and what did they do? They bribed the soldiers to tell him not to tell anybody. They promoted a rumor saying he didn't really rise from the dead. He really was stolen and buried somewhere else. They propagated a lie. They didn't believe. Even though they got the sign, they still didn't believe. Amazing. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. You know, if you're not seeing signs and wonders, maybe you need to start challenging yourself to believe. You know, look at the Word. Pick out some promises of God and say, God's got to deliver on this. And don't back down from it. Challenge yourself to believe. Challenge yourself to do what God's Word says. See that God will deliver. See that God will bless your life. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Gospel of Christ is the word of God. The good news concerning Jesus Christ, which is what Paul taught what he wrote down in the church epistles. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God's word, when we believe it, is the power of God. You know, you go through the whole Bible from beginning to end, and what's the common denominator? God gave his word and people believed it. God spends a whole chapter in Hebrews exhorting the Jews to come back to Christ. And he points out all the people that believed. Why did he do that? They needed to believe. God says, do it, we should do it. And then we'll see things. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. No difference. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, or believing to believing. As it is written, the just shall live by believing. We are to live, how? By believing. That's how we're to believe. God will take care of you if you let him. Pretty simple. You know, no matter what happens, you know, we're going to make plans. We're going to make decisions. We're going to do things in life. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you want to have a 401k? There's nothing wrong with that. You want to have a little savings account just so if you need to get the car fixed, you get it fixed. But, you know, the devil is always throwing his curveballs. And if you go through history, he's always thrown curveballs to people. But people that believed survived, didn't they? People that believed got taken care of. God's no different today than he was thousands of years ago. Is our country or our government any better than the Roman Empire? Not really. It's just another government. It's just another man-made thing. And they're not really going to take care of us. They would like to put us into subjection. God will take care of you. God will bless you. God will heal you. God will do what he says he's going to do. What does he tell us to do? Believe. Now, he does say to work. Woohoo. It's a good thing to work. It's a great thing to do. It's a great thing to work. And we're to be good stewards of what we have, right? And we're to give. And God says he'll take care of us. We're to do what God says. We're to put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what he says. It's either true or it's a lie. God's going to bless us or he's not. We're either going to believe or we're not going to believe. I find it exciting to see God do things in my life. I don't care if they're big things or little things. Remember Naaman, the leper? If God would strike this place and heal the leper, and God said, go take a bath. When he took the bath, what happened? He got healed. Was it dramatic? Well, I guess, you know, coming out the seventh time and being clean was dramatic, but the initial taking of the bath wasn't very dramatic, was it? The guy didn't even come out and talk to him. Elisha didn't even meet him. Never got face to face with him. Refused. It was an insult. Didn't matter. That's what God said. We just do what God says. We do what God says, carry it out. Don't give on God's word. And you'll see things happen. You'll see God bless your life dramatically, amazingly. He'll do all kinds of things for each and every one of us. So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word and that you've given us your promises and the truth. And we thank you for loving us so much. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray.